Melachim Beis Periches Pasuk Chaf Zayin. So poor Achazyahu ben Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda. So trying to keep straight who our Achazyahus are, because we saw a different guy by the same name just a couple of prakim ago up in Yisrael. So this poor lad becomes king at the age of 22. He marries Ataliyahu Bas Omri, who was raised on the lap of her wicked, wicked grandfather, who whispered terrible things into her ears of how she should behave. She's really going to be a chip off the old block. And he's only going to last as king for 1 year, to the ripe old age of 23, when he is going to die as well, ruling in Yerushalayim after his father's death for only 1 year. And remember that we said his father Yehoram died in a truly terrible way with awful intestinal diseases because of his terrible acts and the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Yehuda much worse than Yisrael might be one of those marks. Chazal tell us that the more righteous sometimes suffer even more because the punishment shows God's love for them in a manner of speaking and how terribly they've gone off the derech. So the problem for Achazyahu here is Vayelech B'derech Beis Achav. Of course, following his grandmother as well as his wife, he went in the ways of the house of Achav, Vayas Hora Beinei Hashem Kibeis Achav. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of God, just as Beis Achav did. The differentiation between Yehuda and Yisrael is very, very, very infinitesimal at this time period, because two very unrighteous kingdoms of the Jews are coexisting and co-marrying. And why? Ki chasan beis achavu. And the Nach tells us straight out, without any elaboration necessary, that the problem is that he was married into the house of Achav. He was an in-law of beis Achav, a son-in-law, the chasan, the son-in-law. And so he adopted the ways of his father-in-law, as all good son-in-laws do, I said in a message to my son-in-law. Chavches vayilech es Yoram ben Achav la milchama im chazael melech haram baram oskilad. So now, back up north. We mentioned that Yehoram ben Achav has a problem with Chazael, the king of Aram. We didn't really mention that. We mentioned Chazael becoming king of Aram, and we mentioned that Yehoram had an Aram problem, constant Aram problem. And so now, Yehoram ben Achav, up in Yisrael, decides to go to war with Chazael, the king of Aram, but Ramos Gilad. At Ramos Gilad. And he takes his kinsman, the son-in-law, with him to go to war. Achazyahu, the son of Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat of Yehuda. So there's a Yehoram and an Achazyahu, and they're related, but they're not the two that you would figure. Vayeku Aramim es Yoram. And the Aramim, the Aramians, smote Yehoram. Yehoram got crushed, got defeated. We've seen many, many wars with Aram over here. And Aram is emerging as a massive threat to Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, which makes sense. They're geographically proximate to each other. Choftes vayoshav Yoram hamelech lehisrapeh biYisrael. And so Yoram, the king of Yisrael, returned to recover in the valley of Yisrael, up in Malchus Yisrael, min hamakim asher yakuhu aramim barama, from the smitings that the Aramians smote him at Ramah, meaning from the wounds that he incurred in the big battle at Ramah, bihilochamo es Chazael melech Aram, during his war against Chazael, the king of Aram. Vachazyo ben Yehoram, Melech Yehuda, and in the meantime, Achazyahu ben Yehoram, king of Yehuda, who was his nephew-in-law, depending on how you want to count the familial relationships, his kinsman at least, by marriage, through his mama's side and his wife's side, Yorad Liro says Yoram ben Achav be Israel. He went down to visit Achav is long dead. He went to visit Yehoram ben Achav, in Yisrael, kicholehu, because he was sick. Bikur cholim is a big mitzvah. So he went to be mevaker, says the Matsudas David. Can't blame him for that. Extended family. He's been wounded. He's ailing. So I go to meet him. and to see him and help him recover from the wounds. But the problem is, we've already said that Ahazyahu is just not a good guy. He is following all of the evil ways of Beis Achav. Now, by this point in Divrei HaYomim, they're not calling him Yehoahaz anymore. They took Hashem's name out. And they're calling him Ahaziah. Although they left, I guess, the Yud-Heh in the end. He's also called Azariah ben Yehoram. So what's really confusing here, if you take Divrei HaYomim and Melachim and put them up against each other, is that Ahaziah ben Yehoram, ben Yehoshaphat, is called by several names. He's called Yehoahaz, he's called Ahaziah, the name in Melachim that we use consistently, and he's called Azariah as well. But all three of them are the same person. And how do we know? Because we said in Divrei HaYomim that all the other sons of Yehoram had been killed. Not just died, but put to death, which was something common in the Middle East, when somebody didn't want competition for the throne. So Ahaziah, a.k.a. Azariah, a.k.a. Yehoahaz, is not a good guy. And Hazael has started to do his damage by wounding the king of Yisrael. But the damage is just a mere prelude to how terrible things are about to get. And we're going to see a nevuah from Elisha yet again next parak that is going to show us the great extent and fearfulness of what is about to happen to Malchus Yisrael. You can last a very long time saying to Hashem, I don't believe, I'm not going to follow, I refuse. But sooner or later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in it for the long haul, while people are in it only for the short term. And when the punishment comes, it can be a terrible punishment indeed. We as human beings don't get the perspective to always make sense of why things happen when they happen. But that's the wonder of the Nach, that it can show us that perspective and the arc over time and the great memory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how Mida Keneged Mida inevitably is going to take place, frequently at the worst possible moment for the people unfortunate enough to be around when the bill comes due. So next time, Perek Tess.